Today's reading is from the Gospel of John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Won't you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on your people. For God, I am not worthy to stand behind your sacred desk, but if you would send your spirit to this place, then I will stand on your promise that when your word goes out, it shall never return void. So Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Let's try that again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm a little excited. This is my first orchestra Sunday. And so I feel that buzz and that energy from hearing music that I feel I will hear in heaven. And so I'm grateful for those who have added so much to our service today. I'm also celebrating because just last week I turned 33 years old. Oh, yes. I am a grown-up, and I've been counting my blessings, and by far, the biggest one is being the mother to 3 children under 7. They are the gift that keeps on giving. You're laughing because you know the kinds of gifts that children give, like this week when I was given pink eye. Thank you, Isabella, for giving me green and yellow crust that oozed out of my eyes while I was trying to write a sermon this week. Thank you, you are so generous. They also give mystery stains. I love the intrigue of greeting you after service and noticing a mysterious caked stain on my shoulder and wondering and feeling like I am a contestant on Jeopardy. What is oatmeal? What is scrambled egg? What is more pink eye? Well, whatever it is, if I don't get it right today, I am guaranteed a spot in next week's competition. Or my favorite gift of all, earworms. Those children's songs that you hear once, and no matter how hard you try, you can't get them out of your head. I swear for the last 5 years, it's been Frozen's Let It Go, Let It Go. You're welcome. You now have your own soundtrack to play for the rest of the day. I can be generous too. But actually, this week, I discovered a new earworm when Isabella demanded that we watch Sesame Street at 5:30 in the morning. It's an oldie but goodie that says, one of these things is not like the others. One of these things just doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the others by the time I finish my song? Try as I might, I couldn't get this earworm out of my head, and I think that it's for good reason. Because this song is not just about mismatching shapes or animals or colors. It's what many of us feel when we think about the Holy Spirit. We look at the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and one of these things seems so unlike the others. After all, we spend most of our Christian lives learning and loving God the Father and God in Jesus Christ. We know God the Father as the creator of the heavens and the earth, who speaks and light and darkness and bird and beast literally take form. We know Jesus as our Messiah, Emmanuel, the God who is with us, who heals the blind and cures the sick, and crucified on a cross, rose again to give us access to eternal life. But the Holy Spirit? Well, we talk about that on Pentecost, don't we? You see, the truth is, we just don't know enough about the Holy Spirit. And what we do know often scares us. I know it scared me. The first time I heard the term Holy Spirit, I was 5 or 6 years old, sitting between my grandparents on a pew at Henderson Memorial United Methodist Church in Detroit, Michigan. And just a few pews up from us was Sister Carolyn Adams. She wasn't the most friendly church lady. And during a rousing version of Spirit of the Living God, she started to sway and move from left to right, and she started to scream, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah!" And she jumped out of her seat, and I could not believe what was happening. All of the times that I had been pinched or given a stern look or taken out to the bathroom for talking to, just for whispering in service, and here was this woman going absolutely nuts and nobody was saying anything. Full of confusion, I whispered to my grandfather, "What is going on?" And he replied very assuredly, "Well, Sister Adams has the Holy Spirit." And I remember thinking, "Well, I hope she keeps it over there." I made up my mind that day that whatever that Holy Spirit thing was, I wanted to keep my distance. I wanted a God who showed up when I scheduled him and didn't make me shout or dance like a crazy person. I wanted a God who was knowable, who was predictable, and who did things, well, my way. And I don't think that I'm the only one. Perhaps we don't talk much about the Holy Spirit because we too want control. We too want familiar. We too want predictable. We too want faith our way. And yet our text this morning reminds us that a life lived with the Holy Spirit is first and foremost a life not lived on our terms, but on God's terms. It's a divine adventure that we participate in, but we don't plan. It takes us to places and puts us in positions that we never would have been were it not for the Spirit of God leading us. After all, when we meet our disciples in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, they are not seasoned missionaries, seminary graduates, or doctors of theology. They are fishermen, for goodness sake. They are skilled at catching, cleaning, and cooking fish. But that's the thing about a life lived with the Holy Spirit. It takes us away from what was planned and predicted and puts us on a path that never could have been anticipated. The Spirit is what makes fishermen fishers of men. The Spirit is what makes shepherds kings of Israel. The Spirit is what makes a murderer named Saul an apostle named Paul. A life lived with the Holy Spirit changes the plan. And that's not just how the Spirit transformed the lives of the disciples. in the 14th chapter of John. That same Spirit is moving and shaping the lives of people right here and right now. In fact, when Pastor Javon and I visited St. Luke's for the first time last February, we met Nancy Lang, who serves as the Executive Director of Human Resources, Administration, and Operations. And when I saw all 5 feet of her running meetings, planning capital campaigns, serving, leading, directing, and as of last week, even towing cars, I assumed that she was this lifelong church executive or nonprofit leader. I guessed that she had spent most of her career in this role, as she is just so great at it. But I was completely shocked to learn that most of her career hadn't been in the church at all, but pharmaceuticals. And just a few years before her hard-earned retirement was scheduled to kick in, the Spirit began stirring up a different plan for her life. Rather than spend the next several decades basking in the glow of the sun on a beach somewhere with her hard-earned pension, Nancy followed the Spirit into servant leadership on our church staff. And don't get me wrong, I don't think everyone needs to quit their jobs. Let me say that again. I don't think everyone needs to quit their jobs or go into early retirement. Don't call the church next week and say you need premarital counseling or postmarital counseling because Pastor Nicole told you to quit your job. But what our text is teaching us today is that we all need to live a life that is led by the Holy Spirit. And that may take us out of retirement. That may take us on a mission trip. That may take us to the classroom or the food pantry, but a life led by the Spirit will take us to places that we didn't expect. In fact, if you're a more visual learner, here's an example of what a life lived with the Holy Spirit looks like. And reading this scripture and seeing that image, you may be thinking, well, I'm not sure if I have the stomach for that. I'm not sure if I can take the twists and turns of life with the Holy Spirit. But let me remind you of 3 promises that Jesus makes to us about a life lived with the Holy Spirit. Here's the first. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will always be with us. And I know that when we hear that promise, it sounds contrite to our human ears, because the reality is that we live in a world where nothing seems to last always. I remember convincing my father to buy me a laptop in high school, and what finally made him agree was the promise of a lifetime warranty written in big red letters on the box. And yet when my computer suddenly broke down, we went into the store with confidence and assurance because we had this lifetime guarantee. That is, until the clerk behind the desk told me that we did not read the fine print. My computer could not be fixed because a lifetime was only defined as 2 years. You see, it's those experiences that make us hear the promise of a Holy Spirit who will be with us always, and we still have doubt. We still have fear. We still wonder if it really means always. But be encouraged by the words of the psalmist this morning. For where can we go from your Spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, your Spirit is there. If we make our bed in the depths, your Spirit is there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn or settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your Spirit will guide us. My brothers and my sisters, hear me now. The Holy Spirit will be with you as you wait for the doctor's diagnosis. The Holy Spirit will be with you as you stand at the graveside. The Holy Spirit will be with you as you go on the interview, as you send the children off to college, as you start or retire from the job. It will be with you as you heal from the divorce, when the baby is born, and after the baptism. It will be with you. There is no fine print or expiration date on the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It will be with you always, always, and always. And because we can rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit always, here's the second promise that Jesus makes in our text. The Holy Spirit will tell us the truth. You see, for the past 3 years, the disciples have had the privilege of a Jesus that they can see, touch, and talk to. When they didn't know if they had enough food to feed the 5,000, or they were unsure of how to respond to a blind beggar, they could reach out and tap Jesus' shoulder for discernment. Yet now, Jesus is preparing them for the next sequence of events in the story of salvation. He will soon be on the road to Calvary and no longer able to answer their every question. And so Jesus promises to send them a Holy Spirit in his absence to lead them and us to the truth. Now, the truth here is not facts or general knowledge. The Holy Spirit is not an Amazon Alexa where we can press a button and receive spiritual revelation, though it would be so convenient if it was. The promise of truth that the Holy Spirit gives is the promise of a spiritual compass that directs our decision making. It helps us to discern what and who and where God's will is in the decisions that we make each and every day. And this is so critical because we are constantly making decisions. Each week is filled with hundreds of choices, some that seem unimportant, like what color shoes we wear or where we park, and yet there are others that are life-altering. Like, should I go back to school? Should we go into marital counseling? Or most importantly, should I have that donut after service? I know, because just a few months ago, Pastor Javon and I had to make a life-altering decision. We had been living and serving in New Jersey for 8 years. He was the lead pastor of a growing congregation, and I worked for the conference or the regional headquarters of the United Methodist Church there. And then out of the blue one day, Javon got a call that a church named St. Luke's in Indianapolis, Indiana, was looking for a clergy couple, and someone had mentioned our names. This was quickly followed by a phone call with Pastor Rob and a few Skype calls with the leadership team, and then we came and visited the congregation. And yet, with all of that conversation, we went home on the plane, and we still didn't know what to do. We made long lists of pros and cons, plans and preferences, but no matter how hard we relied on our own wisdom, we could not make the decision. And so we did what most of us do. We called our mothers. My mother thought that we should go. His mother thought that we should stay. And so at a standstill, we called our friends. And they too were divided on whether we should stay or go. And then we remembered the promise that Jesus gives to us in the Holy Spirit. And rather than rely on our own wisdom or the wisdom and counsel of friends or family, we began to seek the truth of the Holy Spirit. We began to pray for the Holy Spirit to move in us and around us and guide us to a decision that would not be our will or our plan, but God's. And because God promised it, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth. It directed us to the decision that led our family to this place, our ministry to this church, and you and I to this very moment of worship. And without the truth of the Holy Spirit helping us to discern God's direction for our lives, I don't think we ever would have met. We would have missed the moment. We would have missed the mission. We would have missed God's truth were it not for the Holy Spirit. For it's the Spirit that promises to discern God's truth in our lives and lead us to where and who God is calling us to. And so the real question for you and I today is, what does the Spirit say? What does the Spirit say? Whatever God's response is to that question, I can say now from experience that it will probably not be what you expected. In fact, I can almost guarantee that whatever God is calling you to will be bigger, harder, and more than you are capable of doing by yourself. After all, who voluntarily agrees to winters in Indiana? But that's why God makes this final promise in our text. I will empower you. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it will give you power. And the power of the Holy Spirit is this. It fills the million-mile gap between what we are called to and what we are incapable of doing on our own. You see, the disciples in our text have been given an impossible task. They have been left with the responsibility of starting the Christian church, preaching the gospel of Jesus, baptizing believers, not just in Judea or the Middle East, but to all nations. Can you imagine? They don't have a GPS, electricity, cell phones, trains, cars, or even bikes. They couldn't be less equipped, less prepared, less capable people in the world. And yet it is this ragtag team of fishermen that started a revolution that changed life as we know it. They preached and thousands were saved in one day. They prayed and prison doors sprang open. They exorcised demons. They healed the sick. They even raised the dead, and they did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it doesn't matter what you can do. It only matters if the Holy Spirit is working within you. For empowered by the Holy Spirit, there is nothing we are incapable of doing with God. My brothers and sisters, we see this not just in the life of the disciples, but in the life of Nelson Mandela. When I was in seminary, I had the privilege of serving in a church in Johannesburg. And I listened to an interview that someone gave with Nelson Mandela towards the end of his life. It was a Christian interview that wanted to talk about leadership. And the reporter asked him, you know, how did you do it? How did you sustain your hope and your joy over 20 years in prison? How did you raise up leaders that kept protesting and kept working the movement and kept believing in the cause? And Nelson Mandela sat back in his chair, rubbed his head, and said, I didn't. The reporter thought that perhaps he didn't hear the question, that he was getting a little old, and he started to explain what he meant. And Nelson Mandela interrupted him and said, no, I understand the question. You don't understand the answer. I couldn't do it. It was the Spirit of God working in me, working around the world that allowed His will to be accomplished in South Africa. My brothers and my sisters, It is that same Spirit that though it looks different, though it may seem a little unpredictable or scary, that same Spirit will make the difference in our lives to complete the work that God is calling us to do. And so let it be our prayer this morning that that Holy Spirit not be something that we're scared or suspicious of, but something that we surrender to. And in our surrendering, discover the promise of a Spirit that will be present, that will tell us the truth, and that will empower us to do God's work in the world together. Amen.